Blog Talk Radio. This is Love's Outer Limits, and I'm your host, Dr. Amy Marsh, sexologist, hypnotist, lots of other kinds of things, and I'm with my co-host, M. Christian, otherwise known as Chris, erotica writer, sexuality writer, sexual futurist, and also lots of all kinds of other things. We've got a great show lined up for you today, so welcome. Well, good morning. And Chris, how are you on this fine Saturday in the time of COVID?
Good.
Okay.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm unexpectedly, bouncy and excited about this program that we're going to do this morning on sex and aging. But it's interesting. But before I get started, let's do our usual shout out. So Tickle Life, I am so impressed with these folks. Chris and I here both write for Tickle Life and contribute material from time to time, but they have just created a whole sexuality and coronavirus section, how to stay safe and sexy during this very strange and difficult time. So kudos to them for compiling resources, and I know there's much more to come. So do go to tickle.life and check that out. And then also my continuing support for Los Angeles's most disastrous drag queen, Disasterina, and the epic journey which she intends to take, riding from San Francisco to Los Angeles in drag, 545 miles, folks, for the AIDS life cycle. So in our show notes, you will be able to find some information about Disasterina's AIDS Life Cycle sponsorship page. So do send dollars. I really support these, really amazing journeys that will be transformative and plus raise money for good causes. Okay, so that's what I've got. Chris, what do you have going on?
I think probably just my usual suspects of futureofsex.net, where I write quite often for them, and they're a wonderful resource as well as speculating on the future of sex, which I think is important to have right now because it feels sometimes that we don't have a future. Kinkley also has wonderful resources both for, surviving these weird times and also for other forms of sexuality. And again, I agree with completely Dr. Amy about praising Tickle Life for their wonderful, resources and just being a great place to find out everything about sex.
Yeah, it's really fantastic what they're putting together over there on that website. I really hope people go check it out. So, sex and aging, where do we start? It's such a huge topic.
I have really kind of no clue. I mean, like you said, it's such a huge topic. I think probably the only thing I could think of off the top of my head would be that it's something that needs to be talked about more. Because very often, sex is always predominantly considered to be the something that the young or maybe, at a stretch, the middle-aged engage in.
Right. Well, I think, a quick internet search this morning, and it's not the first time I've done this kind of search, but using the terms sex and aging and senior sexuality, I really see that there's a growing amount of attention. There's websites, there's articles on webmed.com and the mayoclinic.org or Mayo Clinic, whatever. Tickle Life has some great stuff by Russell Stambaugh, who's a fantastic sexologist, sex therapist. He's got a couple of articles on sex and aging and kink and aging, and then including also, he just wrote a piece called Sex in the Time of Corona, which is also excellent. So, there's resources there. There's joanprice.com, who's a well-known author on aging and sexuality. And there have been a number of studies that have been done, too, that show that people into their 70s and 80s are a large proportion of people are still having partner and solo sex. So it's happening, folks.
Well, I'm so glad that my people are talking about it, because one of the things, it's like, it's funny. I mean, it's like, I always wondered why it is only, you know, starting now to get so much attention, because everybody gets older.
That's true. You do. If you're lucky, let's hope everybody gets older. Yeah, so I'm going to throw out a couple of the studies, real brief things that I found. There was a HuffPost article called Sex and Seniors, What's Normal? And I'm going to take issue with that word normal in a minute, but I'll wait. They quote a couple of studies. This was an article updated in 2018, but University of Manchester said out of 7,000 respondents in the UK, that 31% of men and 20% of women in their 70s and 80s said they were still kissing, hugging, and, quote, messing around with their partners. And 54% and 31% of women over 70 said they were still sexually active, with a third saying they have sex at least twice a month. And then the New England Journal of Medicine surveyed 3,005 men and women between the ages of 57 and 85 in the U.S., and the majority of adults who were married or had intimate partners were sexually active well into their 80s, doing oral sex, receiving oral sex, I should say giving or receiving oral sex, and masturbating as well as partner sex. And those are just a couple of the studies that are out. And a more recent one was the longitudinal study of aging. Actually, you know what? I think that's the one I just quoted because I see the same figures here. So forget that. Yeah, so people are talking about it. I think there is a growing recognition, and the fact that there's support on websites, a number of websites, especially health-oriented websites, makes me feel pretty good. You know, at least the kind of health and medical community as well as the sexuality community is paying attention. What's not clear is if pop culture is. You know,
I agree. It's like, you know, it's one of the things that's like, we're slowly starting to get, you know, a recognition that sex doesn't end at a certain age.
Absolutely. Yeah. But we're still seeing some pretty cruddy portrayals of older people as undesirable or infantilized, or, you know, senior romance is very seldom. I don't know, it's probably changing, but I guess maybe I'm remembering the negative stuff best. But, you know, it's often either creepy or cutesy or icky, inappropriate. You know, you don't get a whole lot of support. I don't know. Can you think of any instances where we're seeing something different?
You know, the only time that I can think we can see it is actually in certain situations and certain celebrities who are, you know, being vocal about, you know, that they are, you know, still active and still, like, exuding sex appeal. We talked yesterday briefly, and we mentioned Helen Mirren as a perfect example of that. But, you know,
absolutely,
a depiction in the media is rare, and like you said before, when it's done as either a, you know, like you mentioned before, kind of an infantilized kind of thing, or it's mocked, or if it's even depicted positively, it's always kind of like with a kind of sense of ew, which I find extremely depressing. You know, that we really have like depictions of healthy sexual relationships among people, you know, who are a certain age.
Yeah, I remember one movie in particular that I think I was so furious after watching the scene. It was Jack Nicholson, Diane Keaton thing where he's the guy who's, you know, he's getting on in years, but he's dating women far younger than he is. And he happens to catch a glimpse of, I think he's dating Diane Keaton's daughter or something. I don't even want to say the name of the movie, but he sees a glimpse of Diane Keaton just, you know, like as she is, but nude, and he practically has a cardiac arrest because he just can't handle this hideous sight. And it was supposed to be played for laughs, but I found it very disturbing and pretty offensive, actually.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of that particular thing. It's like if they do depict someone, you know, again, you know, I'm not sure what senior qualifies as being age goes, but it's always kind of like depicted as being like, oh, gross or weird or something similar. And it is just so infuriating. It's so, you know, again, it's like this, it just reinforces this, you know, objectification of sex as being a commodity that has value or non-value. And it's just so infuriating. I mean, it's just like, you think we get better, and I think we are slowly doing that, but it really can't come fast enough. I mean, you know, it's like resorting to asinine humor is not, you know, doing justice to people who are actively sexy and, you know, who have, you know, happy sex lives, no matter what age they are.
Exactly. You know, that kind of, I'm becoming even more appreciative of that old classic Harold and Maude than I used to be, you know, because you see in that movie an attraction that's based on spirit and an appreciation for the personality and the soul of the people involved. And, you know, age does not have a whole lot to do with it. I think I was telling you last night when we were talking that two of my former partners were a lot older than I was. One was 16 years older, one was 18 years older. And it was interesting to be involved with somebody who was old enough to be my mother in one instance, and just try to wrap my own head around about what I felt like about the differences. But I certainly had a super healthy appreciation for the way that both people were approaching their own sexuality. And and yet I noticed that in one instance, one person was in a position where they had quite a lot of younger women around. And they tended to want to make him sort of out to be the cute elder. And so it was lovingly done, but it sometimes made me feel a little uncomfortable. Anyway, it's really hard. There's a lot to unpack. I don't know. What have you got? What kinds of thoughts have you had throughout your life, just sort of observing these different things and where you are now, for example?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to kind of pin down because, you know, I am definitely, you know, considering that I have the big 6-0 coming up in like less than a week. But, you know, it's funny. It's like I've always kind of had I don't know, I guess kind of a blind side about age. It's one of those weird little things where I can't judge people's ages very easily. So sometimes I'm surprised when people tell me how old they are. But anyway, off the subject a little bit there. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's like, it feels very scary to be approaching, you know, basically seniorness, mainly because it feels like the world, even though, like we mentioned before, we are seeing some progress in this, it kind of feels very kind of depressing to be, you know, no longer part of the sexual world for many people, that you are automatically kind of like categorized in a certain way. And it's extremely, you know, upsetting. And this is one thing I haven't seen a lot of people addressing, is the fact that, you know, your body may be reflecting a certain age, but your mind isn't. So, you know, internally, I'm still whatever my mental age is. I don't feel old. So it's a really kind of a big disconnect from the way you feel and the way that you're perceived, especially in Western culture.
So, you know, that brings up something for me that we hadn't really discussed before, but you and I are both part of a particular community of sex positive, sex educators, writers, therapists, et cetera. I mean, we come from the Bay Area, both of us, at least at one point in our lives, where we were very much affected by kind of the impact of the sexual revolution and its aftermath. And in San Francisco, you could pretty much find, and I think still can, just about any kind of sexual scene that you wanted to. There were so many communities and overlapping interests and, you know, things going on all the time. And here we are now, you know, I'm past you in the 6-0. I just turned 65 in my last birthday, but I'm seeing fewer, I don't know, comrades in arms. I feel like some of many of the older people that are around me were never really part of any of those kinds of scenes. And so that my take on things is much more, I don't know, of an outlier or alien, or that my expectations are different. I'm not quite sure how to express this. But we begin to lose community, and that's a scary thing too.
Absolutely. I mean, we touched on this fairly recently when we were talking. We mentioned before that, like, you know, I agree with you completely. It's like, it's not just getting older. It's also realizing that, you know, the community, you know, you'll have that kind of comradeship, that kind of sense of belonging from a community. I mean, you know, technically, I think I'm a boomer. I never understand how that thing works. But I have so little in common with that generation. I really feel a profound disconnect because, you know, when I look at the world, I feel much more, you know, a kindredship for, you know, millennials or something similar. So it really is extremely distressing when I, you know, try and process my emotions, and I realize how big of a, not just necessarily chronological gap, but a physical one, and, you know, other things exist. And it's just like, you know, getting older is, you know, for the first time getting kind of scary because, again, it's like yourself, it's like we're part of a certain, you know, worldview that is not all that common, unfortunately. And, you know, trying to connect, especially right now in these stressful times, has been a little challenging.
Yeah, I can see that. It's like being culturally and philosophically part of something that has now been sort of passed on and taken up by younger people, but not necessarily wanting to date in that age group, you know. And in fact, mm-hmm. in my case, I don't know about you, but in my case, quite the contrary, because that's the generation that my kids are in. And I just, you know, I kind of mm-hmm. squick at the thought. And I know there's some of us scattered about, but where are they? And how do you get to meet them? And if you meet them, do you even want to strike up a sexual relationship with a lot of them? It's odd. It's very, very odd. And then being just generally considered to be, I don't know, undesirable, you know, and all the other things that have been placed on people aging in general by the society at large, that's obviously discouraging too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I just recently moved to Eugene, Oregon, the Bay Area, and I dabbled a bit with the dating pool, and I found it very kind of like unfulfilling because the people who are all around my age group have a different worldview and a different philosophy and different, for lack of a better word, lifestyle than myself. So trying to connect with them was extremely challenging. But yeah, that's another thing. It's like, you know, our culture is so focused on physicality. You know, it's like we're so obsessed with appearance and ability. I mean, look at how much focus we put on people who are like sports stars or fitness or all this kind of stuff. And when you know, the problem is when you start to put on years, you know, achieving that or being able to connect with that is extremely challenging. So, you know, that's the other factor of it as well. It's like, you know, it's like once you start to not be able to do certain things or not as easily, you know, you kind of feel really isolated.
Right, right. I mean, and all the health, you know, all the health websites that do deal with senior sexuality, you know, I mean, they do stress the importance of maintaining health and regular exercise. And sometimes that's easier to do, sometimes not, depending on what shape people are in. You know, I mean, by shape, I mean, some people have physical mobility or chronic illness issues that may make certain things difficult. But, you know, there's that. And yet I do applaud the fact that there are adaptive devices that people sell, like wedges and pillows and different kinds of sex toys that can help alleviate, you know, maybe the fact that it's difficult to have sex in a certain position, for example, things like that. I mean, that's on the plus side as far as the sexuality goes.
Absolutely. And I think we're very fortunate in some ways that, you know, as people are getting older now, we actually have some really very fascinating and effective new means to sort of like balance out what you can't do physically or ways not as easily. I mean, you mentioned before there's certain kind of pillows and cushions and all kinds of different support things you can get. And sex tech has been really good. So, you know, there's all kinds of devices. There's all kinds of different ways of looking at sex and play, you know, the prevalence and slowly but surely acceptance of sex toys and such in bedroom antics. And, you know, even things like, you know, medical things, you know, the Viagra revolution, I think, is right up there with the pill. So, you know, there are ways of, like, sort of, like, working with what has happened to your body. And we are fortunate in that.
Right, right. Can you tell us a little more about some of the sex tech items that you've seen that might be particularly useful for people who are aging? And I realize I've just thrown you a curveball because we haven't talked about this, but I figure you're so up on this stuff that you'd be able to bring this up. So forgive me for the curveball, but yeah.
Well, the good news is that there's so many now being developed and they're so accessible. The only thing I could think that might be a stumbling block is some of the ones that are more, for lack of a better word, technologically advanced, might be a little daunting to people who are not technologically adept. So, you know, some of them require, like, you know, knowing how to connect a toy via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or something similar. But again, that is, I apologize, that's an insult, because many people my age and much older are very adept at technology. But, yeah, there's all kinds, and particularly I'm excited by the fact that we're seeing a new, for lack of a better word, generation of sex tech that is getting away from anatomical modeling. In other words, they don't look like body parts. They're actually designed, you know, to be held easier, or they're designed, mm-hmm. you know, to be used on anything except maybe penetration or something similar. And I think that's really cool because, you know, it also recognizes the fact that some people are uncomfortable with that, or, you know, or there are other options. And I think that's really very cool. We haven't really seen, unfortunately, and this is a market that I hope someone would start to really develop in, is toys specifically designed, you know, for someone who's getting older. Though many toys can be adapted for that use. I mean, cock rings are a good example for erectile dysfunction. I mean, it's like there's all kinds of various devices and so forth now that are out there. I think there need to be better resources to be able to point seniors and, you know, people who just want to experience these things. But the good news is there actually are out there. It's just, you know, getting access to them and, you know, kind of getting rid of that last stigma about sex toys.
Right, right. Yeah, I think I have come across at least one or two websites where there were some sex toys with adaptive features, you know, adaptive technology type features, but obviously it was so long ago that I cannot remember. But as for, you know, your comment a minute ago about, you know, backing off a little bit about some people not being technologically adroit, I have to say I have a certain amount of skills, but there are other things that I find daunting. And one of my mantras when I run into a tech problem is ask a millennial. So, you know, I mean, some of us do fall into that area of we haven't kept up, or maybe we've only kept up to a certain point. So maybe one of the things that's really needed for this age group that we're being drawn into, you know, the advancing years, are some really good websites and tech manuals that how to information about how to really simplify some of those things that people might find a little daunting at first. And that would be good for everybody, because not everybody who's a millennial is super tech either. You know, it's just some people's brains work that way and some people's find it a little more difficult. I don't know, like doing math or learning a foreign language. You know, it's easy for some, harder for others. I think you touched too on, cock rings for erectile dysfunction, for example, and that is a topic that does come up in association with senior sexuality, for lack of a better term, you know, where there are things that happen like vaginal tissues thin if you don't have enough penetrative sex, either with a partner or with a sex toy. Some people definitely notice a decrease in their ability to keep or to get and keep an erections, like morning erections may diminish. You know, they may not have them as frequently, for example. So those are folks who are probably dealing with some low testosterone issues. Certain conditions like diabetes can interrupt the blood flow to the genitals. Arthritis, definitely a problem for people. I mean, you know, it ranges. Certain things maybe make it harder to have a certain kind of sex, or just make it harder to get in position to have a certain kind of sex, let alone finding a partner to have a certain kind of sex. So, you know, there's some hurdles, but there's some help too, as we're talking about the websites, the people who write articles, the toys. I don't know. If you don't mind, let's brainstorm a little bit about what we would like to see in a more aging and sex positive world. You have any ideas?
Well, a couple things. I think the first one, and this is actually kind of connects a little bit to what you were talking about, is that I'd like to see, you know, and this is going to sound odd, but it's like I like to see an acceptance and celebration of non-penetrative sex, especially in regards to, you know, getting older and such, because, you know, mm-hmm. you know, it's weird. It's like our culture obsesses so much about bodies and about youth, but it also obsesses about erections in regards to sex. If
That's
you
true.
Are, you know, cisgendered male and, you know, have one of these things in your pants, they have a mind of their own. And as you get older, they don't always obey, you know, what you want them to do. And it can become a very great deal of stress for many people. And unfortunately, the culture doesn't back this up. We don't see a lot of options. It's always that you do this if you can't do that, as opposed to celebrating things like oral sex, masturbation, all these different kind of things. I mean, it's like, you know, if you look at the cultural zeitgeist around sex, it's way too obsessed with, you know, this kind of idealized, you know, sexuality, which makes it getting older a lot harder. You know, not literally, but you know what I mean?
Right.
So
yeah.
I'd like to see, you know, not just for seniors, but for the world in general, a, you know, celebration of all forms of physical intimacy and not just penetration. I mean, it's just like there's so many things that can happen, so many things that can be absolutely delightful and fun to do. And, you know, it's like stop like making this the only part of sex, at least what it seems to me sometimes. I'd also like to see, once again, kind of like better depictions of sexuality as a spectrum as people get older, because there seems to be like this bizarre, it's like, if you look in media, they're like, you know, it's like young adults, and in regards to sex, you know, young adults, and then there's nothing.
Right.
You know, middle-aged people are depicted, but they're always kind of like, I don't know, they're kind of said, well, they're this kind of like almost cultural inference of that they're on the way down. We see the trope of, you know, the MILF, and we see the trope of the, you know, the midlife crisis, you know, cisgender male and so forth. And then of course, like you mentioned before, when you get the certain gray hair, it turns into a joke, you know, either be disgusted or to mock it. And it's just like we need to be able to, you know, fully realize that, you know, sex is held at every part and can be used wonderful at any part of anybody's life. And, you know, it's just become this kind of lazy storytelling, this lazy, which unfortunately has now become kind of part of our culture. I think that's really kind of upsetting. But anyway, to be more positive, I would love to see, you know, better depictions of sensuality, of, you know, passion, of sexuality at every stage of a human's life. And it's just like, you know, I think it'll get there eventually, but it's just like, until we get there, it's kind of a little depressing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should probably qualify when you say every stage, we're talking age of consent, past the age of consent.
Oh,
just
absolutely.
So nobody,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, gets the wrong idea.
Absolutely.
Here. So we're talking adults, people, consenting adults. But I completely agree with you, Chris, because it's just so important. It's so important. We need to support people in their every stage of their life. Or again, I will say, okay, adults, since we're talking sexuality. But one of the things that really upsets me is this emphasis on the penis has always got to be rock hard. That's just not how they work. I don't have one personally, but I know from my work as a sexologist, this is not how it happens for everybody. And Bernie Zilbergeld years ago wrote a great book on male sexuality. And he talks about these myths that are so destructive, not just to the people with penises, but the people who love them or have sex with them. Because the penis is used as like the indicator of whether or not the partner's attractive. I mean, all this stuff is heaped on this poor organ that, you know, really should be taken away. The other thing I want to say, though, is, you know, we talked about celebration of non-penetrative sex. You brought that up. And I just want to give a shout out to JoanPrice.com because she has information, articles, and teaches workshops on what she calls outer course, which is basically sex without penetration. And she does a really good job of bringing out this much wider spectrum, like the buffet, the real buffet table of sexual options that can be assessed rather than just the happy meal you pull out of the freezer because that's what you've been told to buy in the store. You know what I'm saying? Let's see. What else would we like to add to it? I mean, I've talked about erotic hypnosis in this context, but let's throw some other mm-hmm. things out on that buffet table.
It's interesting, but I see a certain positivity in regards to interactions, especially when you start to realize, like, I mean, it's kind of weird, but I'm thinking a lot recently about social isolation and about how we relate to people. And it's like, you know, social isolation has an unusual side effect that we start to relate to people as how they are their personas and their, you know, how we interact with them, like, online. So, you know, it could eventually be kind of a cause for a removal of this obsession with physicality. You know, because if someone is sexy, you know, and at 80, when you're doing it online using sex tech or something similar, it doesn't matter what the person's body can do or what they look like, as long as their mind is there. That's kind of a little esoteric. But I definitely think it's like, you know, we are in a situation where this can change. I think, like a lot of things, we need to be more vocal. And not just, you know, the people like, you know, Dr. Amy and myself, but everyone else. It's like, you know, so many people just simply give up when they reach a certain age when it comes to sex. They just simply just resign themselves, you know, that I am not a sexual person anymore, or, you know, I have to settle for something, or focusing on, rather than what they can do, they focus on what they can't do. So I think it's important to sort of like give these people and demand better representation and tools to process this. You know, it's like, it's just sort of expected in this culture that when you reach a certain age, you just simply dry up and, you know, you suddenly become a grandparent.
Right. Or you just blow away into the dust and, you know, and the world is, you know, forgets you and moves on, right? Well, one of my favorite fantasies, and this isn't a sexual fantasy, but it's a sexual culture fantasy, is that a lot of people are augmenting their social security payments by doing phone sex work. know, I just love imagining that there's a number of people online who are past, you know, the age of 50 or 60 who are helping to use this to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, how do you know, right?
It's not far off. I mean, you know, I've heard the other day that the proliferation of online social interaction using things like everything from Second Life to some of the more adult, you know, websites that use the same kind of model, they're using avatars, you know, so they don't have to look a certain way. So once again, as long as your mind can keep up, you're fine. And you find that in online gaming, too. It's like, you know, people often label, like, you know, online gamers as being something for the young. And while there is a large demographic, there's also a large demographic of people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s who are playing now. And so it's like, if you don't know who they are, and, you know, it's like, once again, you're playing with someone's mind. And I think that might be, like I said, a kind of transformative kind of direction we can move into. But also, I think just, you know, recognizing that there's beauty in every human body and get away from this idealized image of what a person's sexuality has to be. You know, it's like when you look at so much adult entertainment, it's, oh, I see these young plastic people. You know,
well,
they just look like robots.
Yeah, but there is a category of, you know, quote unquote granny porn and things like that. I mean, that is a subcategory of commercial porn and amateur porn, you know, that people are going for that. You know, so it's there. But, you know, something I noticed in Second Life, which I was in probably 10 years ago or whenever it was early on, I went in and took a look at it. And I'm pretty sure that nobody was creating avatars that looked like older bodies. You know, people were walking around looking young in Second Life. I didn't see anybody doddering around with an avatar, you know, with a cane or wrinkles. So, you know, there's still a little bit of ageism in that. I mean, I get what you're saying about you're connecting with people's minds rather than their bodies, but people are still taking on glamorous appearances. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I'm just kind of noticing it. I mean, I probably would do the same.
I do think it's like, as we get, I mean, it's kind of a two-pronged thing. I mean, one is to get people to, like, remove themselves from expectations about physical appearance. The second one is to back that up with representation. So I think if we had better representation of sexuality, visual or otherwise, I think you might actually come to a time when people would start adapting, like, virtual avatars and things similar that would be more reflective of their natural age or as a persona, that maybe they're younger, they want to look that way. So, it's, yeah, there's always a kind of weird, you know, dichotomy about this whole subject. But, you know, again, it's like I do think that it's important to support good representation and, you know, not just harp on what isn't working. And I do think we are on the way. It's just sometimes, especially when, you know, you find yourself already getting approaching that demographic, it's just like, can't come fast enough.
Yeah, I really agree with you on that. And, you know, one of the things that troubles me too is that there are so many people who are older who are very, very lonely because they are having a great deal of trouble finding partners. Maybe long-term partners have died or, you know, broken up with them. And maybe they're turned off by dating sites because so many of the dating sites now have, you know, bots and fake accounts and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that is just so annoying. And they've been used as a way to bilk money from people. You know, a lot of these fake profiles have seriously scammed people who are susceptible, you know, that Lonely Hearts Club thing. You know, even before the internet, we could hear stories about people who would be scammed by somebody who played on their emotions as they were, you know, aging and lonely. I'm not sure what other choices we have, especially with this whole social distancing thing going on, and who knows how long it's going to last. I think the problem of loneliness is huge. It's extremely heartbreaking and detrimental to health. And it's hard to be sort of a bouncy, joyous, sexually vibrant person when you're coping with extreme loneliness. And yet you know that that loneliness vibe will probably drive people away because they'll perceive you as needy. And so you fall into this horrible catch 22. You know, what can we do about this?
I really was kind of hoping, I know things are just like, I mean, I have to keep reminding myself this whole, you know, the whole situation with the isolation and such is still a relatively new concept. It's only been a couple of weeks, which still feels like, it feels like ages, but I'm kind of hoping that we'll see a lot of companies, especially social media companies and dating sites and such, step up their game to reach out to people and to give them venues. Because I think right now everything's kind of in free fall. We're not too sure what's going on, so a lot of decisions aren't being made. Well, we've seen some places that are doing it. But I do think it's time that, you know, these companies and also, you know, people who do research in this or just simple social activists start to really clamor for better tools to deal with loneliness and social isolation, not just as an isolated one-time phenomenon, then everything will go back to normal, but as a systemic problem in our culture. I mean, it's not just seniors, but they definitely get the lion's share of it. It's just like people are isolated. We don't know how to communicate with each other. I'm not going to blame like the internet or something like that, 'cause I think it's part of the solution, not the problem. But, you know, it's like we don't know how to connect with one another. You know, it's like we need to have better tools, both emotional as well as technological, to be able to contact people, to be able to forge good relationships, and not constantly treat it as a merchandising device. I mean, it's so depressing when you're trying to date these days, because every time you go to a social, a dating site, it's always for profit, and they always want to charge you an arm and a leg, and they always mislead you.
Oh, yeah.
So that whole thing is extremely deplorable. So if you're looking for companionship, you have to pay, you know, ridiculous amounts of money, and then we realize that they misled you, that there aren't any people in your area or something similar, you know, and it's just like, you know, we need to call these kind of companies on this kind of stuff, but also just there needs to be more activism, you know, for seniors and connecting with other people. I mean, you look at, like, far too many senior centers, quote-unquote, are always focusing on senior activity. Now, of course, a lot of this is driven by demand, so I can't really be too complaining, but they're all, you know, pretty much, like, focusing on activities that have been designed for seniors as opposed to what people might actually want.
Right.
You know, things like how to meet people, like how to, you know, use technology, how to actually, you know, stuff. And, you know, I think if that was kind of like integrated, we'd feel much more. And that's a lot of this has to do with, of course, like moving beyond the whole idea of once you reach a certain age, you're basically put on a shelf. But, you know, so I definitely think there are solutions. I'm hoping that people will start to step up and either demand or make them happen. But it's definitely a big problem.
Yeah, and I hear you. I hear you on the misleading, luring in that the dating sites have. You know, with this, oh, you'll meet these people in your area. It's true. It's such a scam unless you're in a major metropolitan area. And I also really resent the idea that when I reach the age of old enough to apply for Social Security, right, that I will automatically have an interest in bingo. I'm sorry. No. You know, it's like, no, no way. No fucking way.
Or scrapbooking. Or right. Oh, God, don't get me started. I mean, it's just like, you know, and that's the other thing. It's like we mentioned before, and not to sort of like make this about, you know, the bohemian sexologist and erotica writer here, but God damn it, it's frustrating because it's like, you know, you want to do things, and it's like, how old are you, 60? Well, there's the scrapbooking class. It's like, God damn it, you know, it's like I'm playing
right.
Division II and, you know, and creaming these teenagers. It's like, you know, where's my, you know, where's my support group? You know, it's just like, you know,
exactly.
It's like, you know, just because someone has silver hair, it doesn't mean they want to, like, talk about their grandkids.
Well, see, I'm trying to go the old witch route. You know this about me, and I'm just going to let our listeners know, is my persona, my sexuality, my creativity is really wrapped up right now in sex and magic, and I don't care who knows it. And I'm going to be an old witch, and I will curse the bingo game if anybody tries to drag me to one. And I'm just saying that. no, I want ecstatic dance. I want gorgeously witty salons of people talking about really incredible things and showing their art and playing their cellos or, you know, their bongos. I want poetry readings in non-smoky cafes. I want to talk about revolution. I want, you know, I want a lot of stuff. I want stuff that I wanted when I was younger because that's who I am. I want the revolution. I want the dancing. I want the passion. I want the hot sex, but with connection and emotion and humor and intelligence along with it, because that's what I've always wanted. So I am not going to go into some mauve cafeteria that's being wiped down by young people carrying buckets of ammonia and a sponge. I can't go there, for one thing. I have a disability that won't allow me to set foot in a place like that. And then be served a meal of canned peas. And I'm sorry, I'm just beside myself with this dystopian, horrible pastel-colored dystopia that they want to put us into. I'm just not having it. No way. So I'm off the deep end.
I completely agree. It's like I want to find the retirement community for anarchists. I want to find the trailer park for old punks. You know, I want to I like to say that there's two times in your life where you can get away with anything. One is when you're too young. The other is when you're too old. I missed the first. I am, by goddamn means, not going to miss the second. So I'm going to be that old guy with a cane who threatens to die every 2 seconds. You know, it's just like, you know, it's like, I'm going to die on you. You know, it's like, what are you going to do, throw me in jail? It's like, you know, I only got a couple more years left. You know, it's just like, you know, I'm going to be crotchety to the max. But, you know, it's just like, again, it's like I want to be the guy, you know, the 80-year-old dressed in street fashions and, you know, wearing the newest technology and, you know, kicking butt online and,
you know,
you just
will
like,
be,
you know.
Yeah, I'm there with you in spirit, if not in the flesh at the moment, but yeah, you know, community dungeon in the trailer park. You know, shared space. You know, let's you know, evil masquerade parties, group showings of reruns of Dracula. I mean, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go there. Speaking of drag, one of the ideas I've been playing with. Now, I don't know if I'll actually accomplish it because I'm socially isolated with no access to wigs, but I've been thinking about a sort of performance-based drag that has to do with aging and that kind of, you know, not going gentle into that mauve cafeteria. You know, I want to perform aging with an edge. That's where that's where I'm at right now. That's my kind of edge play. So, for those of you
sign me up.
Hoping.
I mean, I will definitely participate. I will be there 110%. Just let me know where and when I'll show up. Because,
okay.
You know, I think that's also like, I think it's part of that. Again, it's kind of like people need to be vocal about what they want and not treat aging as being like, you know, walking into the, you know, the sunset. I mean, it's just like, you know, you can still do so many things. And even the things you can't do, you can do other things. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like you have so many options now. It's time to start seizing them. And more importantly, demanding them. I mean, so much of these myths around seniors is because that's what people expect seniors to do. And they just sort of mold themselves into this idealized image of what a senior does. You don't have to be. I mean, there's no rule that says you can't wear, you know, whatever you want, or, you know, be a dirty old man or a dirty old woman or something similar, or, you know, get out there and enjoy kink or sex tech or porn or anything else. I mean, it's just like there's nothing stopping you. We need to sort of have that cultural bravery, you know, to sort of let people just decide on their own and just not look around and see what people expect of them.
Right, right. And to add, dirty old any other gender, non-binary, trans, whatever. Yeah, so we'll throw that in. I'm completely in agreement, as you know, and we've had conversations about this both, you know, in our podcast now, but also, you know, offline. But there is a danger to older people who are expressing forms of sexuality that are considered outliers or quote unquote not normal by the mainstream. And I said earlier that I was going to pick a bone, you know, with this word normal. There's really not much that's actually a norm in human sexuality. It's so broad and there's so many things going on, and same with gender. Maybe usual can be a better word, or average could be a word if people want to convey some sense like that. But the truth of the matter is that a lot of older people, especially in the LGBTQIA plus categories, are at risk once they get old enough to where they either need in-home help or some other kinds of social services, or that they've gone into a congregate care facility. They are in danger of being harassed by caretakers who want them to change their ways or repent religiously. And there have been instances where people, say, who are older and who are in a consensual BDSM relationship, have been forcibly torn apart by a social worker who interprets the consensual BDSM as signs of adult abuse. And there was a very tragic instance here in the Northern California, where two men who were long-term partners in a consensual BDSM relationship, this thing happened to them because a social worker who was ignorant made assumptions, filed reports, and all of a sudden these two men who'd been life partners, torn apart, one put in a nursing home because his health was failing. The other partner was not allowed to go see him. The house was sold, the possessions distributed, the cats given away, for heaven's sakes. And one man died without having his lifelong partner with him. And so this kind of ignorance, and I think there's been a resurgence of this ignorance, you know, in the last few years since, you know, a certain somebody taking office, you know, and all the backlash against LGBTQIA plus people, as well as a lot of other folks, let's face it, where our social workers, our home health care workers, they are not getting the training they need to understand relationships that are not cishet normative. So that's my rant. I'm sticking to it. You want to add something to that?
I completely agree. And I want to apologize for the binary slip there, because you were completely correct.
Oh, don't worry.
It is really deplorable that, you know, so many times that when you face that time of life when you need to go into whatever we want to call it, a facility, if you want to be crude about it, or retirement community, so many of them are very restrictive about social expression, or, you know, of gender or religion or anything for that matter. It's like it's because, you know, it's like they are just like become such proselytizing or isolating or demeaning, you know, anything except for what they see. And there is no oversight. There is no, you know, way of, like, you know, vocaling about this. But you're right, it's getting worse. And mainly because, like you mentioned before, it's like bigotry is being empowered. But, You know,
right.
It's like, that's why we need to be more vocal about this. And there are, I know, some people who are trying to set up, you know, GLBT, you know, A community centers and such that are focused on seniors, and they're actually trying to integrate that. But they're very, still very rare, and usually in only, you know, urban areas or such. So anybody else is going to be really put through the ringer. And, again, it just has to do with education and empathy. But it is one of the scariest things about, you know, getting older is that, you know, even if you did have, you know, a sense of self where you were able to express your gender, your orientation, your political beliefs, your life choices, you still might have to put them on the shelf when you enter, you know, one of these places. Either that or be abused or, you know, hassled because of them. That's really very disturbing.
Yeah, the documentary Gen Silent, so G-E-N and then Silent, is an excellent documentary. You can find the website online for that, and I really recommend that people watch it so that you understand the tragedy of this and how serious a problem this is for many people. And why should we, after life well lived in the way that we have chosen to live it, why should we be asked to amputate all those parts of self just so we have adequate medical care, some food, and a roof over our head, and, you know, and whatever kind of care and assistance that we need? We shouldn't have to give that up. We just should not.
Absolutely. And that's something we need to be, once again, everyone needs to be vocal about, because unlike other things in this world, everyone is going to get older. So even if you, you know, think of this as being pure narcissistic, it's time to start being activistic about this, because in a couple of years, you too may find yourself, you know, facing this kind of decision. And, you know, and you might be thinking, oh, why didn't someone do this, you know, speak up about this or make social change? Well, you know, the buck just keeps getting passed. So now's the time to start saying it before, once again, everybody who's listening to this faces exactly the same decision. So it's time to start, like, calling on these organizations and calling out this abuse and, you know, being activistic about, you know, having options for people who are reaching a certain age and need care. I mean, there's no excuse for this except for, you know, being passive.
We need advocates. We need people who will go into places and be the patient or consumer advocates for people who are being hassled. But, you know, we're just about at the end of our hour here. So I think we better say goodbye in a minute. Next week, I think we're doing the Kinks Less Traveled, right, Chris? Is that?
Yes.
My
yes.
memory. Yes. And that should be a fun episode. So do tune in next week for that. And with that, I think we should say goodbye. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Do check out Tickle Life and their COVID-19 resources, videos, and articles. I think that you'll find it, you know, it's related to sex. You know, how do you stay safe and sexy? A lot of resources, a lot of good stuff on there. So, Chris, once again, thank you for being my co-host. It's always delightful. And we'll be talking. And for the rest of you, stay well. Stay safe and, you know, have some pleasure while you're home alone. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.